All right. Okay, this is going to be a good message. How do we know? Because the devil kept everybody away. Okay. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. We'll be actually in verse 32. Mark 10, 32. Not a verse you're familiar with. And you say, hey, whoa, what are we doing in Mark chapter 10? This is Advent. We just lit the candle on the Advent calendar 4 weeks before Christmas, right? It's the 4 weeks of preparing our hearts to celebrate the birth of Christ on Christmas Day. And I want to tell you something. I love Christmas, and I love the Christmas season. And we had someone said this morning, why can't we have Thanksgiving every day? Why can't we be thankful every day? Why shouldn't every day be Christmas for us? Shouldn't we have that warm, fuzzy love for everybody? Shouldn't we have that incredible amazement? We should. And every day should be Easter or Resurrection Sunday, too. But I love Christmas and the Christmas season, and not for the shopping or for the movies. I won't be binge-watching, Hallmark movies. I love it because it's a celebration of the incarnation. It's a big word, the incarnation. It's the God of the universe, the creator of all things, becoming one of us. That's mind-blowing to me. He becomes a man named Jesus. And I get to talk about Jesus during this holiday season. I get to talk about my friend and savior all month long. The holiday season opens the door for the conversation. People are always talking about Christmas, so we can talk about Christ. And folks ask me, are you ready for Christmas? Right? How many times do you get asked that? Are you ready? You mean, do I have my skeleton in the front yard yet? You know? What are you talking about, right? They mean shopping and parties and stuff like that, but I talk to them about Jesus, the reason for the season, right? And I don't have to fake my enthusiasm. I don't have to, right? I'm actually enthused and I'm excited about it. In fact, I'm excited all the time about Jesus. I really am. And I've wondered if my excitement would fade over the years. I was told it would. When Lisa and I got saved in 1992, our pastor told us, take it easy, calm down. You're too excited. You're going to burn up. You're going to be like a meteor or something, and there'll be nothing left of you. Don't worry, this will wear off. This will fade. I've seen this before. That's not wisdom, that's a curse. And we haven't seen that actually happen. We're actually seeing our excitement grow constantly. We get more excited. It's not wearing off. It's not burning out. I have more excitement and amazement about Jesus. It keeps growing. In fact, not a day passes without me being amazed by Jesus. As I read my Bible, I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed. As I pray in the morning, as I talk to God, I'm amazed. And when I think of the cross, I think about his death on my behalf, I'm astonished and I'm amazed. I'm not getting used to it. It's not getting old. It's almost like my vision is getting clearer about it. I'm hearing more of it. So why wouldn't I be amazed at Christmas time? Why would I be like, oh, here we go again? No, I'm astonished and amazed. And the better question would be this: shouldn't I be amazed at Jesus and his teachings every day, not just at Christmas time? Shouldn't you? Shouldn't you be amazed at Jesus and his teachings every day? Here's the scripture verse. It's a short one. Mark 10, 32. Mark records this. He says, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. It's an interesting verse. Here's the context for the verse. It's Jesus' third year of ministry, okay? His disciples have been with him most or all of this time, and they're going up to Jerusalem with Jesus in the lead. And the verse says they are astonished. Your translation, if you have a different Bible with you, may say amazed. It's an interesting thing because it interchanges it. It's pretty close, the translation. I actually looked at the Greek, and you'll find interchanging of amazement and astonishment. So it may say amazed. And there's a crowd following too. Mark says they're afraid. That's interesting to me. It says they're afraid. It's a fascinating verse, isn't it? I encountered it in my daily reading some weeks ago. And I got stuck. I got stuck on this verse. Kind of like a phonograph record. Right? Remember those? When the needle would keep jumping and it would just keep replaying it over and over. Sometimes I still have phonograph records, by the way. I'm not a hipster that just got them, okay? I have never stopped, okay? And in fact, I've inherited hundreds of them because people would say, I don't know what I'm going to do with these. And I say, I'll take them. And I still have them. Now they're back in style. Now they're coming looking for me. I'm like, no way, you're not getting them back. You know, and I don't just put the covers on the walls. I actually listen to them, and I enjoy it. And sometimes we'll be listening to a classical one. That's very nice. And we'll be listening for a long time until we realize the record is actually skipping. We think it's a repeat of the movement. And we'll go, you know, I think this thing's skipping. You know, it's not like it's some country song where you could tell, right? So anyway, I got stuck on this verse. And I'd read it in the morning. And I'd read it at night before going to bed. And I talked to the Lord about it over and over. And this is an incredible verse. It really is. There's so many things here. So first off, there's two different reactions to Jesus. Two different, very opposite reactions to Jesus. There are those who are afraid. And there are those who are amazed or astonished. Or blown away, we would say today. We had a modern translation, it would say, and the disciples were blown away. Two completely opposite reactions. And the verse actually explains why. Actually tells you. One group is his disciples. What does that mean? It means his serious students, his serious followers. And they're excited. They're amazed. They're astonished. The other group is the crowd. They're following from a distance. They're curious, but they're at a distance. But they're not entering in. They're afraid. They're afraid of what? And they're amazed at what? And the answer is the same to both those questions. Jesus. One group of people is amazed by him or astonished. The other people are afraid of him. One man. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is either the cornerstone of your life or he's what? He's a stumbling block to your life. One man, Jesus. He's either the cornerstone where you build your life upon him, you build your hopes, you put your faith in him, and you build your life upon him, and you can't go wrong. Or he's something you trip over your whole life. He's something that actually causes you to stumble. You'd be better off not knowing about him. Because you know, when you're close to Jesus, you know your life isn't that good. You're not under that illusion anymore. You know, I really need improvement. I'm really far from the way God made me. I'm really far. I have thoughts, attitudes, and behaviors that are wrong. And you keep tripping over that, but you never enter in. And so there's those that are amazed and those that are afraid. And Scripture says, well, let me just tell you this. The disciples are all in. The students of Jesus are all in. They are fully committed to a relationship with Jesus, and they're following in his footsteps. And what a ride it's been. I mean, I look at this. Look in your Bible. Look back a little bit. We're at verse 32, but if you were to look back at verse 24 in your Bible, you'd see this. The disciples were amazed at his words. We should be too. Are you amazed by Jesus' words? When you read the Gospels, are you like, wow? Or is it just like, yeah, I know that story? You should be reading and rereading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you should be amazed at his words. These guys have been with Jesus 3 years. 3 years. Sleeping with him, eating with him, doing chores with him. And it says, Jesus says something to some people, and the disciples are like, wow, that's amazing. Look back in your Bible, look at verse 26. It says, the disciples were even more amazed at what Jesus just said. And that's amazing to me, to use the word amazed yet again. Again, they've been with him 3 years, and the enthusiasm and the excitement, the freshness of Jesus' teachings are still there. Are still there. But to the casual follower, not so much. They're actually afraid of his teachings, what he asks of his followers, because he asks things of us. Salvation is free. Having Jesus change your life is free. But then comes the commands of Jesus. Jesus says, you're my disciple if you obey my commands. It says it over and over and over. And he says, don't worry, they're not hard, because I'll do them through you, through the Holy Spirit. But the crowd is afraid of his teachings and what he asks of his followers. So they stay on the outside because of fear. And they never experience the joy and the love of following Christ and the excitement of following Christ. You know, I grew up outside New York City on Long Island. And I don't miss too many things about the place. We were just back in New York City. I don't miss very much about it. But one of the best things about living there was the ocean beaches in the summer. It was the greatest. The sun, the sand, the cool, clean salt water of the ocean was fabulous. Fabulous. But just like in today's passage, there were two types of people on the beach. Two types of beachgoers. Those who waded into the water and swam, and those that laid on their towels. The swimmers and the surfers were super excited. They were super excited. They'd yell and scream about the waves and how it felt. No matter their age, they became like kids again once they got in the surf. But those that stayed back on the sand, they were afraid. They were afraid. Really? Yeah. What are they afraid of? Well, they're afraid to be seen in a swimsuit. Really? Nobody cares. We all look lousy. They're afraid of sharks. Really? That was just a movie. You know, you hear the sound, you know. Dum, dum, dum. Okay, there's no sharks. They're afraid of jellyfish. No. They're afraid of drowning. I'm not going to go in there. I'm going to get killed. Nobody drowns. There's lifeguards. Some of them are very pretty. My brother was recently, 2 years ago, was rescued by a beautiful lifeguard. I said, you were faking. He says, no, but I couldn't see her because I didn't have my glasses. But I would have faked. Whatever their fears are, they're afraid. And fear keeps them from the amazement and the enjoyment of the water. Funny thing is that it's interesting. Both types would say on Monday morning, I went to the beach over the weekend and it was great. Right? What'd you do over the weekend? Went to the beach. How was it? It was great. Two different explanations of greatness, isn't it? One who actually experienced had the beach experience of others who got sunburned. Only one group had the real experience. So it is with our Savior. Following him casually at a distance will never be a life-changing or rewarding experience. It'll actually be detrimental to you. And there will be little amazement or astonishment. But diving into the faith, committing yourself fully to Jesus, will change everything. By reading the Word of God, reading the words of Jesus, and then applying them to our everyday life, this will lead to a life of amazement and never-ending astonishment. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. And it's my joy to follow you. In all I do, let me follow you. Let's pray together. Lord, you give us so much. We've got a whole book of your words. And we've got a whole book filled with your words, and we're stuck on one verse, Lord. We just are amazed at all you have for us in your word. Help us to understand how it's speaking to us, and help us, give us back that joy. We don't want to have the little kid Christmas joy. We want to have the follower of Jesus Christmas joy this season, Lord. We want to pass along the reason for the hope that we have. We don't want to fake our enthusiasm or excitement. We ask, Father, that you would rekindle in us that faith and that hope. Give us the courage, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be afraid of following you fully. We don't want to be following from a distance. We want to make you the cornerstone of our life and build everything upon you. We thank you, Lord. You've given us so much to think about. You're amazing, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.